Welcome to Nature's Neighbor on AM 1230 KPRL. Nature's Neighbor, we're live and local and all about living sustainably right here on the Central Coast.
Good afternoon, Central Coast. Good afternoon to each and every one of you. I am your host, Melanie Blankenship, sitting in the KPRL studios, and I'm here ready to take your phone call so that I can answer any question in regards to food, family, farming, and home always being the perfect Central Coast of California. And you guys know that I can't start Nature's Neighbor off without talking about the weather. Yeah, I'm a little distracted because of the weather. It's just too beautiful outside. Yeah, it was a little hard to come to this show today because I wanted just to sit and bake in the sun and enjoy the warmth of how incredible this weather pattern has become. But I was very happily motivated in coming to the show today because I have two fun guests in the studio with me, guys. I have Lydia and Kermit, who are board members of the Paso Robles Food Co-op, right? We are trying to build a food co-op in Paso Robles. And Lydia, talk real close so we can hear you too, sweet. So, you know, I have them in the studios today, and they're here to talk about where they are, what's going on, and how do we stimulate the conversation continuously about cooperative food. Yes, Nature's Touch Nursery and Harvest is who puts this show on, Nature's Neighbor. I am the owner of both. And at the same time, I am a small business. But guess what, guys? I'm a farmer first and a small business second. And I see the importance of cooperative community food. And, you know, but it's all of us working together to figure out how we move forward with this possibility. Lydia, I'm going to start with you. Want to introduce yourself, how long you've been a member, and what's your motivation behind help building Paso Robles Co-op?
It's really important to me for the community to have access to healthy foods. It's important that we support our local farmers, our local producers, and make those things accessible as well.
Can I just slide one in there right now?
Sure.
How long have you been a loyal, good friend, good customer of Nature's Touch?
Long time.
Exactly.
I get a CSA from you every week.
I do. And so always 100% appreciative of the continued love and support. And at the same time, with each other, we build each other, we invest within each other, and we're now here to say we're together investing back into our community, you know, and that's important that we all have some part into it, as well as we have another guest who is Kermit, who is also a part of the Paso Co-op. Kermit, introduce yourself and let us all know what your stake is in the game.
Sure. My name is Kermit Com, and I'm a board member for the food co-op, and I joined about a little over a year and a half ago, and there was some change in leadership, and there was a need for some people to step up and lead and take over some of the tasks that the business or the you know, actually, it's an actual corporation, and it has to file taxes and do books and all that good stuff. So I stepped in to take care of that, and then we've slowly been building membership. I think since I've joined, there's now over 50 that have joined since me, and we're just steadily going along. And I'm, you know, hopeful that very soon we're going to, you know, double in size and be close to our 500 member goal.
Yeah. And so overall, guys, what's the total membership that you guys have right now?
222.
Right on.
As of this week.
Right on. And then when was the actual Paso Co-op formed? What year?
Incorporated in 2013.
Yeah. So, yeah, so it's been a little while, mm-hmm. And it's, you know, like everything that is building in a community state, it does take a little bit of steps and time.
Mm-hmm. Life happens. It gets in your way sometimes.
Constantly. People change. People move. People retire. People change. Mm-hmm. Food changes, mm-hmm. like this. Soil changes like this. Everything changes. And also, you know, that 2013 date, you guys, you know, before we came to the show today, we sat in the front of Nature's Touch and got warm in the sun and had this conversation. You know, I brought out the point of the Food Safety Modernization Act passing through the Fed in 2007. It was implemented in 2011. And with the forming of the co-op in 2013, I mean, this is, you guys are on the new frontier, where that word co-op, food co-op, is an old concept. I mean, I'll never forget shopping when I would go to the Bay Area, the Berkeley Co-op. I mean, that's been there since the early 60s, I think, or even late 50s. And literally, it is all member-owned co-op. And I think they actually have still, I think it's like over 45% farmer-owned. And so, you know, that's, you know, I remember all of that. And what is a co-op, guys? You know, define what your membership is.
Sure. Yeah, and it is important because people sometimes get confused, and there's different types of cooperatives in reality. There's a workers' co-op, which the Paso Food Cooperative is not. And that's where the people are members and they're expected to work and do all that stuff. That's not it at all. We're actually just a cooperative that primarily will get a tax benefit for members. So when we open our doors and have the store open, then as long as a certain percentage is sold to members, then we could get a preferred tax filing. So it's a unique cutout in the IRS tax law that helps actual cooperatives. And so being member-owned, we actually have to have members, and we have to have members that cooperate and work together to make it all happen.
And support the store.
And support the store, exactly. So you mean I can't just give you my membership and dictate to you exactly what I want?
You could, but you're not going to get very far.
Well, you'll have one vote along with everyone else.
Exactly. But at the same time, if I get out there and I support and I keep farming and keep building and showing up to meetings and gatherings and actually keep educating myself about what local food is really about.
It's important.
We might be able to build this, guys.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
You know, that I'm going to give you a funny scenario. So, you know, our good friend Brett Butterfield, who owns the Paso Robles Water Park, right? I remember when I was in elementary school, I heard from him that he was going to build a water park. And, you know, come on, guys, I'm a North County kid. It gets hot in the summertime. And what would we do to have a water park in Paso? And I'm 40, almost 45 years old. Okay, so elementary, so young. I remember the idea and the concept and how many people got behind Brett to build this water park. Yes, it's privately owned. Yes, it's, you know, different in the sense. But I remember the community coming together in the sense to support him. And guess what we have? We have a water park, you know, and my children love that place, you know. Never did I think that it was my children when I was in elementary that would be enjoying it. But at the same time, it was a community, come on, Brett, do it. When's that water park going to be? You know, we're here to support. Let's build this. Going to city council meetings and, you know, voicing our opinions that we wanted it there. And here we are, you know, how many years later it's been open. And this is kind of the concept where you guys are here to invite people to be a part of something that we can build together. You guys have all heard Nature's Neighbor continuously talk about what we can do better here together in our own soil. That's, you know, grow your own, buy your own. I mean, you guys, I look at it outside. There's nothing we can't do here. I was sharing with Lydia and Kermit, you know, I was talking to a co-op owner back east. They're in New England area. And I asked them, I said, you know, what are you guys doing right now in your co-op? And they're like, well, we have, you know, a lot of bulk grains and, you know, we have greenhouse stuff and, you know, but we're educating continuously about what people can do, teaching them how to do sourdough starters, teaching them how to ferment veggies or canned veggies. You know, this is the things that they're doing in their co-op right now. Every week, it seems like they had something different going on. And when they started to say, you know, when the snow melts, you know, then this is what we're going to be doing. And then the conversation stopped and said, Melanie, we don't want to hear what you're doing right now. We know where you live. And then she goes, can you please send me some avocados and oranges? And I was like, you know, yes, guys, you know, is this community, are we just spoiled because we do have everything that we want? In a sense, but or do we? Do we have easily, readily access to local food and or a place where we can go to learn how to do things better ourselves within our own community? Do we have that?
Not really. I mean, the vision, of course, is to have a facility where, say, we have a community kitchen. You can do classroom-type educational things, learn how to, you know, produce. We were talking about seasonal vegetables, how to cook healthy, how to eat healthy, And then, of course, being that access or the point of access for farmers and local farmers and local businessmen.
No, it's okay. No, it is going to be that local spot. And we are going to continue this conversation when we come back after the messages.
The Sound Off lines are open at 238-5775, 238-KPRL. You know the drill? The North County's listening to you on Sound Off.
Welcome back to Nature's Neighbor. I'm your host again, Melanie Blankenship, and we're in the KPRL studios ready to take your phone call so that I can answer any question in regards to food, family, farming, and home. Home always the perfect central coast of California. Guys, give us a call, 238-5775, 238-KPRL. I am joined with the Paso Robles Food Co-op. I have two of the members, Lydia and Kermit. They are here to talk about, you know, building it. And it's been a couple years since it's formed. They got a good amount of membership that is going. But at the end of the day, guys, it's all about what we can do as a community. As the owner of Nature's Touch Nursery and Harvest and been in business for a long time, you know, I can tell you that, you know, as a sole proprietor, I would like to think I could do it all, but I can't. And I'm the first one to admit that there's a lot of things that there could be being done, but I can only do so much. But yet, if we gathered better as a community, we could have even more. And before the break, we were talking about, you know, the importance of understanding, you know, what the co-op really is about. Guys, I'm a farmer, so of course, you know, I sell my stuff at my own store, but I would love to have the opportunity to become a member and to also supply our honey and my plants and my fresh produce and my, you know, I have orchards that are coming of age. You know, as a farmer, I'm not thinking about today or tomorrow. I'm thinking 6 months, a year, 6 years, 20 years, you know, because remember, fruit trees take 5 to 7 years, if not longer, to become of age when they're producing. Yes, I've been in production for about 4 years on the average of my orchards, but guess what? I'm becoming mature, and so my orchards are going to start coming off pretty heavily. How cool would it be that all my biodynamic farm produce is being sold in Templeton and Paso Robles, the two most important places of my life? Remember, fourth generation of Paso Robles, yes, born and raised, mom and dad, grandparents and grandparents. I used to always think it was horrible because I was already in trouble by the time I got home because everybody ratted me out because they knew my mom and dad. Okay, it was horrible. But then, you know, I met my high school sweetheart at Paso Robles High School, and Paso got too big for us, so we moved home to Templeton. But this is why I'm in Templeton. But you know what? If we had that access to a cooperative food system, I could still hang out with all my cool people in Paso and in Templeton. Okay?
There you go.
See, this is where, you know, do you see my motivation here, guys?
Oh, yeah.
All right. You know, and also remember, you cannot get to anybody's heart unless you go through their mouth first.
And I think we all eat food.
We need food, and we need really good food, and we need what could possibly come from this soil.
Sure.
You know, so guys, talk to us a little bit more about, you know, your needs, the, you know, the desires of this community. How do we move this co-op forward in building it?
Well, it's real easy. We just need, you know, more members, because the outline and the business was designed back when it was formed to get up to 500 members. So that gives enough capital in the bank and resources and, you know, enough, basically, that would be our first round of customers, mm-hmm. right? Assuming we're all cooperating, we're going to be shopping at the co-op. So we're at 222 now, and like I said, it's been growing steadily, and you can find out everything you need to know at the website, which is, we actually have two. One is the PasoFoodCooperative.com and then .coop. Mm-hmm. And, there's their bylaws, the outline, questions, you know, what people want to know about the co-op. It's all online. And of course the, we're continually moving forward with new members. We have had some ads running in the Paso Magazine. Mm-hmm. And so you'll see us there for the next few months. And, and then we meet every third Wednesday. And the location information is on the website. Mm-hmm. And I think we're doing a Local Bites.
Yes.
Why don't you tell us about Local Bites?
February the 19th will be our next meeting. It will also be a Local Bite where At this particular time, it will be at Avery Acupuncture at 1704 Spring Street, Suite 202, I believe is the address, but it's...
All that's on your website?
It's all on the website. It'll be from 5:30 to 7 p.m., and we'll have several of our business members who will highlight and talk about their businesses. They're already members of the co-op, looking forward to being able to put their products in the store when it opens. But you'll have a chance to sample some of those things if you'd like to. The public is welcome. You don't have to be a member to attend. If you have questions, you're welcome to look on the website, like Kermit suggested, or speak to any of the board members or any of the members that attend the meetings.
Awesome. So, oh my goodness, I just lost my train of thought because I was thinking about all the sampling. I think I'm hungry is also the warm weather and an empty tummy is also making me a little scattered today. But so in business membership, okay, so these guys, you guys have been promoting these local businesses.
Yes, we have over 40 businesses that are represented. We may have more. Sometimes what happens is we have a member who has started a business, but they haven't necessarily shared that with us, so we're not currently highlighting their business. But the idea behind it is that the business promotes the co-op and the co-op promotes the business. So we do that on our Facebook page and our Instagram page as well as our website.
Awesome. Is there any standards in the sense of, you know, being based locally or, you know, any type of business that becomes a member? Is it just open for businesses to come in to be a part of a member, or is it, you guys have any guidelines or boundaries or anything?
The bylaws say that you have to live in California and be able to shop at the store. That's part of your responsibility as a member, is to support the co-op.
Awesome. Any different charge between being a just resident versus a business, or is it the same?
There isn't currently. Our bylaws don't have any differentiation at this time.
Yeah, so primarily individuals join, but they're, of course, they run a business, or they have that access to it. And, of course, some of the interest from their point of view is the, you know, the location to actually, you know, sell their wares or to you know, have it in the store.
Yeah, but even without the actual location, so to say, building, because you guys actually do have a location, correct? No location yet.
No.
Okay.
We have a P.O. box. We have meetings.
Okay.
But they're in different locations.
What's the location that we were just talking that was actually in the county?
That's one of...
I might have misunderstood. So it's okay. So go ahead. So no location yet.
No.
Okay.
No.
And that's what we're working for too,
yes.
Right?
Right. So, I mean, right now we're still on the... I mean, the first goal was to get to 200 members, and we rolled past that, and now it's to get to 500.
Got it.
So
got it.
That's where we're at right now. We need to get there because that's the concept that started back in 2013.
It's your goal. So we have to meet to be able to fulfill the actual financial part of what it is.
Right. We have a preliminary market survey that we've already done. It definitely supports the fact that Paso Robles really needs access to cooperative foods.
Yeah, there's definitely room in the area for the concept. There's, you know, the population, all the market, the business aspect of it is the business and the neighborhood and the community can support it. And I think we were saying with we've had meetings in different locations. And like with the local bites, we've done things like at Calcareous and Lone Madrone and wineries in the area that support us. And
Good.
And that's, again, is to just to get out in the community. Ask people, answer questions.
So I'm going to be the one that's going to say that what needs to be said. Of course, we have all of these big box entities, right, where you can go and you can get just about anything at any time of the year, at any cost that you really realistically want to pay, right?
Right.
And the American society has demanded cheap for so long. And guess what? We got cheap food, but yet
you pay for it with your health.
Exactly, and we need to all ask ourselves, what happened to the nutrient content in our foods and the safety of our foods? My goodness, you turn the news on almost every day, every other day, there's a food recall, right? And they, you know, we keep sitting here and we talk about getting bigger and bigger and faster and bigger again, but yet is that realistically giving and doing what is really needed to be done. And that's the sense of eating, of food, and providing. Aren't we supposed to be eating for nourishment, not just for consumption? And so, yes, you guys, we have the access to, you know, a certain box store that you go on 101, and you're going to head south, and there's a big store that used to just be a, like, convenient, you know, cleaning supplies and clothing and that kind of stuff. And now, all of a sudden, they're moving all of those other wares and making more room for more food, right? And one day, my mother made me come into this place because she needed to buy some candy. And I walk by because I know allotment dates and I know shipment dates and I know corporations. You know, I know how Kermit and I were sharing understanding of consolidations that have been happening in the big tech worlds and also in our food worlds. And so I was going through and walking through a shelf and I saw that brown eggs were available during this time. And so, of course, you know, during that time in our store, it was hard to get. So I just went to go see, you know, because I hear people say they're getting them there. So I pulled the allotment date. And I went and researched it. And to figure out when those eggs were collected.
Mm-hmm. How old are they?
Back east. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And by the time, how many distribution spots they went to, and by the time they got to that big box entity, how old they were, plus the sell-by date was extended pretty far out there. And yet, you know, they had that wonderful word of organic on it. And I'm like, wait a minute. I know as a chicken egg producer, we collect our eggs fresh every day. You know, we, by law, have to wash them in warm, you know, in cold water, you know, making sure there was no remnants of the chicken on there, you know, right? But it is an egg. But we got to wash that off, and we got to instantly refrigerate them. And we don't sell our eggs older than 48 hours. If they're on the shelf longer than 48 hours, they go in the kitchen and they're made into egg salad or baked goods or, you know, that kind of stuff because we have eggs coming in all the time, so we keep them fresh that day. To think that those eggs were that many months old on that big box store, the E. coli and all of that stuff starts to grow naturally and that kind of stuff because it's breaking that egg down, right? And so it's not about, you know, in my world, because there's no preservatives, there's no, you know, wash, you know, certain types of chlorine bleach washes. There's not this massive cold refrigeration to preserve things longer so it can travel longer. We're focused more on the nourishment value and the freshness of that egg. Where when you're buying that dozen egg off that big box shelf, are you really getting nourishment in that old of food?
Good question.
And also, too, what requirements in chemical world are needed to keep that egg safe? You know, because realistically, there's got to be something used in order to keep it from breaking down, right? Nature happens. It, you know, nature needs to take its course. And so it happens. And in the commercial world, in the big shipment world, they have to do things to stop that from happening. So realistically, I mean, yes, we have all these big box systems all throughout Paso and all throughout our county. But are we actually getting nourishment out of those places? You know, we're getting consumption, guaranteed. You can consume anything you want. But at the same time, are we getting the full value of what we're actually buying in those places? Where coming to a place like the Co-op or Nature's Touch, where you're getting stuff that is not traveled very far, not full of everything. Guys, we do have to comply with different rules and regulations. For instance, by law in the state of California, you cannot raise backyard chickens and then try to sell your eggs without an egg handler's permit. So, you know, and as a farm scale that I'm at, we all have to be permitted. We all have to have our liability insurance, no matter if I'm going to sell to my own store or I'm going to, you know, sell through my own store or sell to the co-op. So there are rules and regulations. There's environmental health standards that we all have to comply with in this business world. And, you know, all the liabilities insurance. So there's things that we have to deal with in those entities. But not the chemical world because we're not shipping so far. So let's continue this conversation when we come back.
The
Sound off lines are open at 238-5775. 238-KPRL. The North County's listening to you on Sound Off.
Welcome back to Nature's Neighbor. I am your host again, Melanie Blankenship, sitting in the KPRL studios, ready to take your phone call. So give us a call so we can answer any questions in regards to food, family, farming, and home. I'm always, 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 always being the perfect central coast of California. And I am joined with Lydia and Kermit from the Pastorals Food Co-op that has been formed since 2013. And it's gone through its little fair shares of changes and hiccups. But you know what? These guys are set, determined to rebuild it. They got to get their numbers up to 500. We're getting there, getting close. And so we're inviting guys as a business owner, you know, and as a farmer. I like the concept of, you know, being a business or being a membership-owned cooperative. This is how we can all gather together and help resource within each other, how we can educate each other. You know, you guys hear me on Nature's Neighbor all the time teaching, instead of Googling it, right? Weren't we just talking about this, guys? How about go to your local system, a local business, a local, somebody who's doing it, and learn from them.
Yep. Go help a farmer.
Go, oh, yeah. My back hurts today. Well, can somebody help me today? So, you know, and that's the thing, like, I constantly say this, too. I never get nickel and dime from people who are actually growing food as a farmer that I'm trying to sell my stuff.
Sure.
I don't.
It's not easy, is it?
No. But then at the same time, you know, when I have my little groups of other business owners, you know, I'm out in the world and I'm trying to farm and sell my goods and, you know, try to always put that happy face on so I can be available to the next customer that walks in. And, you know, I'm feeling like sometimes I'm out there by myself, right? But then when I have little group meetings with other like businesses and realizing I'm not the only one that's dealing with the same exact thing at the same exact time, it's reassuring, right? It gives me motivation and hope that, okay, I might not necessarily always be doing the right way, but I got to make money in order to keep this infrastructure going, be able to put money in my pocket to reinvest back into my community and my children.
That sounds like a cooperative.
Right? And how cool is it to be able to be a part of something that we can build together?
I mean, let me tell you a bit, some background is we did a survey back in October, and beyond the shadow of a doubt, if the doors were open, there would be people shopping there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
The challenge that we've had with the cooperative is that it's all volunteer right now, right? We put in our $300. I mean, that's what a share is worth right now. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, to keep things going is we have meetings every third Wednesday, and we do events to try to reach out to the community. But a lot of people have come and gone, or some people put in a lot of effort, and then they get burned out.
Yep.
Because it's volunteer, right?
It's not easy doing this world.
So anyways, it's amazing that the goal is this beautiful thing that everyone wants, but yet no one wants to work for it. And we were talking earlier, it's just that I think some of this is just where we are in our society. And like you're saying, is people vote with their dollars, they vote with their time, and we can make anything we want happen. I mean, we're all Americans.
Yep.
And it's just, we're kind of, you know, putting on the shoulders, the backpack and saying we're going to march forward and make this happen.
Yeah, for all of us that are kind of in the trenches, and I've always been in the trenches, right? You know, I am that person that, oh, I have an idea. My whole family run when I say that. You know, but at the end of the day, you know, we're calling out to this community. You know, we're not expecting everybody to jump, right? But there are those people that are out there that are like us that are not afraid to get dirty, right, to go out and get it done. But what I'm saying is it's nice to be able to have support in the idea of what we can do better as a community. I'm sitting here today saying, as a sole proprietor in a business and person that is very competitive. I am a very competitive. I love football, right? Because it's like, you know, it's physical. It's, you know, you can't just show up for football. You got to actually work at it. You got to build it. You got to, you know what I mean? And if you just kind of mediocre it, you're going to get hurt. But if you are healthy and you're real, you're going to fulfill and you're going to get that touchdown, right? And so at the end of the day, when it comes to what my goal has always been is the choice for people to eat foods from their own soil. And when I say their own soils, Paso Robles region and Templeton in our areas, if we can't do it here, It's not going to be done any better anywhere else. Our soils are misunderstood. Our climates are completely, totally misunderstood. But at the same time, if we can bring this back to center and really be familiar with what the possibilities are, where it's endless in what we can really do. But we got to be better about gathering. We got to be better about supporting and understanding. Let's go without the things we really don't need and reinvest back into the things that we really do need. You know, I'm sitting here and the my wheels are rolling with how many other small businesses that are out there that if we formed better with this co-op, how much more benefit it would do for all of us. And not including Nature's Touch, but at the same time, Pastor Rebel's Health Food Store, Natural Alternative. You know, these guys are like specialties in their own industry.
Right.
But yet, you know, if we could bring things of more of awareness with the business membership co-op, you know, yes, we might not necessarily be always selling out of there, but we're working together within one system that it's like, okay, we got our businesses, but then we also have that other resource that you guys are helping. Guys, I don't have, you know, all that supplement, or I don't have that particular herb available, but Natural Alternative or Pastor Rebel's Health Food Store has it.
Sure. And you know? I think one of the things, too, with the cooperative aspect is that the members can decide what the goal of the store is, what it can carry, what it should carry, how it wants to.
If they want vitamins, we have vitamins. If they don't want them because it takes up shelf space, then they're not there because they can get them somewhere
else. Right. You're not playing,
we can tell them where to go.
Yeah. You're not playing the games with slotting fees and who can buy their way in front of your face at the store.
Yeah.
The members would say, hey, this is, you know, we want this product, we want that product, or we want a selection of these. It's totally up to the members. And that's, again, you have the tax advantages and then the control.
Yeah, and that's it's big, you know, and it's also understanding the investment of what it really does for your community, too. Like, is the business stimulation of creating something like this and the money reinvested back into our own community. You know, we were chatting about a certain entity that, you know, how long it takes for something to get to these big box systems and how fresh they really are. And I, off the air, shared a comment of the psychiatry of marketing food, right? And, you know, and we were talking, Lydia, before we walked into the studio of, you know, if we don't feel like it's bad or it's a wrong thing to do, why aren't we honest about it? Like, if we are, you know, using Roundup, I'm just going to say that awful word, but if we are using it, why aren't we honest about it? Why, if you think it's so bad, you know, but you're not telling anybody, oh, I don't spray, but yet you're spraying Roundup, why are we here? You know what I mean? If you have to use insecticides, right? Why can't you be honest? Because there's actually really good insecticides out there that are under the organic standards. Yes, you're allowed to use insecticides under organic standards, but the concept is understanding that it doesn't have a residual, meaning by the time you consume it, it doesn't have any residual of what that insecticide was. It completely broke down. Now get it into the big commercial worlds and how things travel and how things have to be safe. Certain things have to stay long-term residual by the time it gets to that grocery store shelf, right? Where on a smaller scale, where we can be open, honest, and transparent about the way that we farmed, handled, and marketed our stuff, we don't have to hide anything, you know?
Right. One of the things with the survey is there was a lot of interest and demand for the labeling. Is where did it come from? Who handled it? How far was, you know, was it in my backyard or was it, you know, from Mexico or was it from, you know, another country? And so anyways, that's exactly what you're saying is that the one thing that can happen is that transparency and that labeling can all be part of the co-op.
Yeah, and that's, I mean, honestly, that's what Nature's Touch we've been doing, because it's like people don't understand, once we turn to government and we ask for something and we get it on the ballot and we vote for it, we don't realize how much we have to pay for it. But at the same time, we're expecting the big entities to follow suit on our small scale ballots, right? And it's not happening. We all know it's not happening. I mean, the free range law cracks me up when we only have to have, you know, I have to pay to play for that word, right? If I put free range on my meats or my eggs, I have to pay a claim. I have to file compliancy forms that show that I've got the wording correct with the entities that are overseeing that, right? So I'm paying to play. But guess what? Oh, with the chicken, all I have to do is guarantee 2 square feet. Mm-hmm. 2 square feet per bird is considered free range. You know, and that, at the end of the day, You know, California is the only one that has those rules and regulations. So those eggs that I was talking about in that big box store came from Rhode Island that had free range. Guess what? I did my research on that. There was nothing free range about that concentrated feedlot, you know, and so that, but they had the words on there, you know, because it's a marketing concept. You pay to play for those words. And there's no oversight, or, you know, because at the same time, when you get to that big, how can we oversight that? You know, and that's when we're small scale, we're cooperative, we're doing this on a smaller system. There's more transparency. You can see the hands that touch your food, right? Because we're all right here, yep. Right?
How many hands touched it before I got it?
Right? Exactly. We're going to continue this conversation when we come back. Nature's Neighbor. I'm your host again, and we have a few... Oh, I forgot to say my name. Melanie Blankenship. I'm getting ahead of myself. I need to eat. We are here in the KPRL studios for a couple more minutes. I am joined with Lydia and Kermit from the Pastorals Food Co-op, and we have been talking about building this co-op. Guys, again, share your website information, phone number, meeting location. Where do people go to get signed up? Just on the website?
Yes, absolutely. Okay. Like I said, we have the bylaws there. We have an application, all kinds of information. And it's PasoFoodCooperative.com. There's also PasoFoodCooperative.coop, or you could just search on any internet search site for Paso Food Co-op, and I'm sure you'll find us. And then we have Instagram.
Basic information, again, with the web page on our Facebook page, and we also have an Instagram page. We've gotten a lot of hits on those lately.
Awesome. Talk to me about the meeting. So you guys have your meetings the third Wednesday of every month?
Yes.
Right. And that, mostly we actually meet at the Esteemed Eagle Lodge, because I'm involved with Troop 60 here in Paso.
Right on.
And so we worked out with them that we could meet there every third Wednesday. And so that's, again, a calendar on our site, so they can get that and the address and stuff. And then we do occasionally, and, you know, last year we did a quarterly. The year before it was almost monthly. We did local bites, where we go to a member business or an interested member business and actually have the meeting or have a group. Sometimes we do it on the weekends to, again, get out in the community, educate people on what we're doing, have, you know, we have, you know, literature and information, answer questions, all that kind of stuff, applications. And so we're doing something on...
on February the 19th, which will be the usual date, but it will be a different place than usual, not at the Scout Hall. It will be at Avery Acupuncture in Paso Robles, 5:30 to 7 p.m. There'll be information about that with the address, et cetera, under the events section in either the webpage or the Facebook page or Instagram page. They'll all be updated.
Awesome. All right, you guys. So come and join them. Be a part. Guys, even if you're not a farmer, you're not a business, but you just want to have access to local food, you know, and build it in Paso. I just... Whatever it takes to build an access point to good food in Paso Robles, let's do this. And at the same time, when you need to go make that purchase, before you step into the big box entity, think about what political stance you're making by walking into those versus a local-based business.
Yeah,
right?
You vote with your dollars.
You vote with your dollars. And if it doesn't show with what's going on in our current political world right now, that money is the driving force of everything, I'm telling us, let's live by our dollar by putting it where we live. Let's fix our home better and be a part of our community, because no matter what goes on in Sacramento or Washington, D.C., if we can't take better care of our home, feed our people good food, have a good, clean community, how do we ever think we're going to fix those places? Holy moly, those places are crazy. So, you know, this is an invitation to each and every one of you guys out there to be a part of it. Also, too, guys, you know that Nature's Touch Nursery and Harvest in beautiful downtown Templeton has been going, operating, and my, you know, you guys invest in me, I'm investing back into this community. This is how this local system works, right? Mm-hmm. I'm seeing the need to be able to have more access to this, and this is why I'm here saying, guys, let's do this better together. And also, too, a little announcements coming from Nature's Touch Nursery and Harvest. Hey, guys, have you seen the nursery? It's starting to bust out with bare root fruit trees, and herbs and annual veggies are starting to come out. And this 65-degree weather that we're feeling right now is going to make it come on even stronger. For all my customers that have been looking for elderberry syrup, we are back stocked with Bliss Organics elderberry syrup. It's back on the shelf. Also, guys, you know the elderberries grow wild and native here. You know, to all the people that are looking for elderberries, dried elderberries, grow it yourself. Drought tolerant, gets 8 feet by 4 feet. It buries usually about June. The only problem that you're going to have is you're going to have to beat the birds because the birds know how good that berry is. Like I said, we have the plants in the nursery right now where you transplant them right now in this cold, wet soil. They thrive. And it takes nothing to get them to the dry stage where they don't want irrigation. They want to be wet when they're getting established, and they want to be dry when they're flowering and fruiting. And I kid you not, the babies that are in our store right now, the mother stock, came directly off of our ranch. So I can tell you, I know that she's been there since 1972, so guaranteed. So she's been producing babies about every year for me. So an awesome mother stock of elderberries, and I can tell you how hardy she is, and I'm speaking from experience and beating the birds. I kid you not. Like, I'm like, okay, they need one more day of this warmth, and that sugar is going to be perfect. Go and out there gone. And half the bush is harvested. I'm like, oh, quail, you know, the little sparrows, they all know. They know what's good for them, you know. So, you know, we need to learn better from nature, right? They always know when it's the best. But I'm excited, too, guys. Speaking of another fruit that is really hard to find, I have the Pakistani and mulberry tree in the store right now. People don't even know what mulberries are anymore because we've all sterilized them and have fruitless mulberry trees. But I actually have trees that actually fruit, and they're beautiful. Kind of look like a blackberry, but an elongated blackberry, but don't have a mulberry or a blackberry taste. It's kind of one of those sweet, oh my gosh, they are so good. Sweet flavors that you can't describe, you know, and so good stuff. There's a ton of stuff going on in the nursery. Of course, there's always a ton of stuff going on inside the Nature's Touch. We started our six-month bee series, and so I'm so incredibly grateful to all my new students, and holy moly, we got a big class. And excited to see how many people want to become beekeepers. See, we need to get that food co-op going, guys. We're going to have a lot of local honey coming up, and I'm putting my seeds into these people's of ideas to be doing it themselves so we can be sharing this, you know, awesome ideas that come to fruition, and, you know, being able to have a local gathering spot where people can buy and sell their own goods. It's just an awesome concept, and let's do this. Let's be better within our community. I can't believe this is the last week of January already, and here we are looking into February. Berries are coming in, blueberries. Oh, by the way, Lydia, you know, blueberries are coming in tomorrow, so you might be getting blueberries in your harvest basket tomorrow. Yeah. So, you know, with this warmer weather, this is what it's coming, and we all just got to get better together, and you guys know where to find me in downtown Templeton when you guys need the resources of identification or what should I grow or how do I do better about this, or if you didn't get their website, it's the Pastor Obel's
Food Cooperative.com. Thank you for having us, Melanie. Thank you very much.
Heck yeah. I hope it's a regular. We can do a check-in and say, hey, we hit our 500. Now we're on to next step. Woohoo! All right, guys. Well, you guys have a wonderful week, and we will be back next Monday. Guys, it's the first Monday of the month, so Dr. Dave will be doing his check-in with Dr. Dave. Oh, guys, have a wonderful week. Take care.
Nature's Neighbor, every Monday afternoon at 12:35 here on The Right Choice, AM 1230 KPRL, Paso Robles, Atascadero, and Templeton.